Hey, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine best-selling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Yes, you are. Welcome to another Ask Patricia Show, another inspiring interview in our series, Take a Woman Like You. Wait a minute. There's no limit to what you can do because it all belongs to you. Such inspirational words there by Michelle Williams and her co-host there, and Beyonce and Kelly. All right, another episode of the Ask Patricia Show. As I said, I've been doing this series of Take a Woman Like You, inspirational women who are respected and influential. Those are the status and the caliber of the ladies that I'm bringing to you today. And today, it's no exception, an amazing woman. I know I use that word, but this is so relevant, and it's so key, and it's so right. She's a journalist, PR specialist, a lecturer, public speaker, talk show host, magazine editor, writer. I mean, she's written for such organs as The Guardian, Sunday Observer, The Times. She had her own column in The Voice, numerous TV and radio shows, one of the UK's leading beauty experts for makeup and skincare. I mean, I don't know if I can go on anymore. She's also been inducted into the top 100 Black Hall of Fame. Goodness me, Sherry Dixon, where does it end?
Oh, well, you know the phrase, I am every woman.
That's as you.
As I was listening to you saying that, I was like, oh, that's me. You forget that you do
much. Oh, gosh, I know. I mean, on this show, I mean, I do tend to use the word inspirational quite a lot because I like to look for a certain caliber of woman. But I mean, you really do embody that word. I mean, that's what you are about, is inspiration, Sherry.
Yes, I love that word. And that song that you just played was just so poignant.
Yes.
Because, look, we all have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
This is my whole thing. We all have something to offer. We have choices. We could either sit in our houses and keep them all to ourselves.
All right.
Or we can sit in our houses and share them just with our immediate family and
mm-hmm.
friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or you choose to do something about it that then makes it a little bit more popular and a little bit more worldwide.
Yes.
And that was my choice from the beginning to
mm-hmm.
say, when I wrote, to make a difference.
Right.
That's what I think is the real mantra of it all. I like to make a difference.
Right.
But I think it has to be embedded in you. Something like, say, a preacher
mm-hmm.
who then says, you know, I could read the Bible and just keep it all to myself.
That's
or
true.
I could go out there and spread the gospel
mm-hmm.
of God.
Yes.
And try to let people understand it from my point of view.
That's
what I chose to do in every field that I moved into.
Oh, I love that. In every field. Now, that is so key. You must have been very confident to do that.
I believe I am.
Yes.
And it goes back to mm-hmm. youth.
Right.
And this is the thing that I like to get over. When I was younger, I grew up with my grandmother because my mother had me at a very young age.
All right.
In Guyana, in mm-hmm. South America, and she was a very young young woman. So as you well know, in the Caribbean and in Africa, our parents play a role. Grandparents play a role in our lives.
They do.
So it's not just you on your own. Your mother still is your mother, and your mother still slightly controls things, or your dad will still come and chop wood at the back or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
So my grandmother, in a way, brought me up,
mm-hmm.
and I always remember this, no matter how young I am.
Yes.
I was.
Right.
Is that she said, "You're special."
Okay.
And I never really understood what she meant with those words until. I got older, and
mm-hmm.
that special is that I was inquisitive, I think,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I liked to look and understand. So even although she would put me in a chair and say, sit there, I sat there, but it didn't mean that I wasn't observant of what's going on. So I can remember her putting on the pond scream, her putting on the lips even before she fed the fowls
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, and perhaps would compliment her when she was, you know, at that stage, as a young child, saying, "Mummy Irene," that was her name. We never called full mouth.
Okay.
I called her Mummy Irene.
Right.
I like when you wear pink, or I like it when you put on that perfume.
All right.
So I must have, I presume, from the teachings of her and my grandfather, who read books. He was always reading, and quite often he read books over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and I used to say, "Why are you reading that book over and over again?"
Yes.
He says, "Because every time you read it, you get a different take on stuff."
There you go. So true.
So the education and the confidence started in the home.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. You know, you use the word curious in the sense of, even though you would sit, you know, you would, although you were doing as you were told, you're very obedient, you were still looking around you. And it reminds me of somebody who said, you know, be ferociously curious about life. Would you agree with that?
Yes, you have to be.
Yes.
And on my LinkedIn page, I think I put something like that about being curious. I'm curious.
All right.
I'm really curious about everything.
All
so,
right, yes.
Some people, for example, would go on Facebook or LinkedIn or any social. I'm talking about social media because that's the way the world certainly has gone now.
So true.
But I would click a link and read whatever it is that they're saying and learn from that so that I could have a greater analysis of whether it's a health product or a health food, or just in general, a political, even though I'm not into politics, I like to understand it from my point of view. So curiosity, I would then say, got me through the doors of all the parts that I've taken.
Interesting.
Being curious.
Being curious, yeah. I think that's a very, very key point there. And would you say then, like, over the years, do you think that curiosity has worked out well for you, or has it ever got you into trouble?
Curiosity did get me into trouble when I was at school.
Okay.
It gets me into trouble, and then I have to bail myself out because I often, let me give you two analysis.
Yeah.
I when I was a secretary, right. what they called a secretary at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted to know mm-hmm. what it was to be the top, what you would then call a PA.
Oh,
a
right.
PA is different to a secretary.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know now, but then.
Yes.
And I always used to hang with the secretary, mm-hmm. the PAs.
Yes.
I'd go to lunch with them.
Okay.
And this is when I was working in PR.
Right.
And from hanging with them and listening and having lunch with them,
right.
I then understand the role of a top PR person.
Of course, yes.
And then when that role then became available, mm-hmm. an opportunity came,
yes.
they came for me.
Ah,
and I
yes.
remember that quite clearly,
yes.
that they came for me.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea, I was trained as a legal secretary, but I didn't understand PR, but
right.
I learned on the job.
Okay.
And I think curiosity then got me to the top of my ladder.
Exactly.
Because I was curious enough to find out, well, what is PR really?
Yes.
And from mm-hmm. working in PR,
yes.
I learned about obviously products, how it's used as a marketing tool in the community. And at that time, when I was working with the top guys,
yes.
it was Ariel versus Purcell at the time.
Oh, right, yes.
Do you remember that
yes,
thing
I do.
Where they used to have the, oh, which one is best?
And, exactly.
And they'd have the line of whitewashing.
That's right.
Well, I was part of that
okay.
campaign.
Right.
And then I understood how you could manipulate, if one wants to use that word,
yes.
the minds of people.
Yes.
Giving them choices,
mm-hmm.
but giving them the angle for that choice,
yes.
and using the PR tools that I learned from working in that industry for over 8 years.
Goodness.
I then was asked to do an analysis on skincare.
Okay.
Smith Lang Beecham was our client, and
right.
they had wanted to find out
right.
a little bit more about what women do, what they think, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that the black women were invisible.
Yes, yes.
Invisible because they chose to be. Because,
okay.
And I use that phrase because
right.
they always said, oh, I don't use that stuff, I don't do this. And the word I don't kept coming up in the vox pops that we were doing at the time. And
mm-hmm.
then I realized, why would you not want to give your voice?
Right.
Why would you not want to say, well, I use Colgate toothpaste,
right.
or
right.
I buy my toothpaste in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do is
mm-hmm.
your choice.
Yes.
But we were brought up perhaps with the ear of secrecy,
yes.
even about the most stupid thing. So basically, we didn't want to talk our business.
So true.
And so therefore, we didn't have a voice. So
mm-hmm.
I decided somebody had to have a voice for us.
Okay.
And I
love that.
Decided to
yes.
Move into, use my journalism and PR,
uh-huh.
then move into beauty and write about things that we now talk about today in the black world.
Oh, I'm so interested to hear how that journey began for you. And do you find now, after these few years have gone by, that things have changed very much when it comes to beauty and black women?
It has changed because we have choices.
Right.
Because it, whether it's MAC, Bobbi Brown,
yes, yes.
All the different Clinique, all of them.
Right.
We have a choice whether we decide to buy another product rather than just a black product.
Okay. Okay.
It isn't a vast, but
mm.
it is a change.
Yes.
And in comparison to at that time when I think I didn't have a choice.
Right.
I only had the choice of fashion fair.
Yes, I remember when that first came out. Yes. Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
and then later on, mm. Flori Robertson.
Yes.
And the others.
Yeah.
But now I think we have a choice
mm.
to mix and match our stuff. So
that's true.
We could then we can go to Bobbi Brown or
mm-hmm.
we can go to. I didn't realize Bobbi Brown at the time made colors for women of color
right.
until I went into beauty and then realized that we can mix and match our stuff.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So I think we have choices. Again,
yes.
it's choices whether you want to learn
right.
or choices as to whether you just want to
mm-hmm.
say, oh, well, they don't have stuff for us.
That's
because
true.
I actually realize now they can't make 10 shades for white skins.
Okay.
And then 10 shades. You know, we were over 58 or 59 shades of black.
That's great. Wow.
So they would have to make a minimum of 10.
Yes.
And they don't know if you're going to come to their shop.
True enough.
So basically they do two or three.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's the reason why. Interesting. So, okay, so that's more the industry. But what would you say about women of colour within themselves? Do you think we feel beautiful within ourselves? Because I know a few months ago I did a show with my daughter about what is beauty. And just what she felt years ago, that she had to wear the weave, she had to wear the lashes to be considered beautiful. She just had that image put before her all the time. But do you find now as black women that we're owning our own beauty more?
Yes, I think... Because there's this thing about putting out positivity.
Yes.
And
yes.
If I just use myself as an example,
right.
The things that I share is you are beautiful.
Mm.
Who says that you're not beautiful?
So
even
true.
In my lectures,
yes.
I say, how dare you? This is my favorite phrase. How dare you?
Gosh.
How dare you insult yourself by saying I don't like my nose,
yes.
for example,
yes.
which is a popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my nose is too broad. My nose is too this. My
mm-hmm.
nose, or my mouth is too big, or
right.
my hair is too kinky.
Yes.
Why are you saying those things? Do you understand why you're saying those things?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we've been re-educated to say it's okay
right.
to wear looks
yes.
and have a good job. Because
yes.
I could say I've proven it by going through every hairstyle there is on earth
right.
and walking through the doors. It's about confidence. It's about
gosh.
How you speak. It's not just about outward beauty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It all comes from your attitude
yes.
and your stance, your
yes.
interpersonal skills.
Yes.
So you could be dressed as chic as, you know, Chanel.
Right.
But if you walk...
Yes.
And you walk with the apology,
mm-hmm.
with your head down,
yes.
or your back humped, or walking in a fast pace that looks like you're running away from somebody.
That's right.
You are not seen as beautiful. So beauty to me means more than just the application of makeup. It's about
yes.
your whole interpersonal skills, because I can tell when somebody's not confident. I
oh,
can
gosh.
Tell by
okay.
the way they speak if they're not confident.
Okay.
And that's what I'm working on now
oh, right.
in my latest motivational career.
Okay.
Say I can tell from somebody's voice
mm-hmm.
if they're not confident.
Right.
And I teach them how to stand up if they're not confident and speak. Because when you stand up,
mm-hmm.
you sound more vibrant.
Of course.
You sound more
yes.
in control.
Yes.
It's about more than outward beauty. It's more
mm-hmm.
than your hair.
Right. I love that. It's more than your hair. But, you know, I've kind of had to go through a bit of a personal journey with this, because I grew up in the church, and my particular brand of church, they're very strict, Sherry, and we couldn't wear any makeup at all. You know, all we could do is put a little bit of Vaseline on our mouths, pretend
right.
it was lip gloss, you know. I mean, we were very, very, couldn't do anything. So I had to go through the stage of experimenting with makeup. You know, when I got to a certain age, I sort of made my own decisions. I tried the makeup, and you know, so you have to learn it. And then with the hair now, it's kind of, I had people telling me, well, you know, you shouldn't be wearing a weave, or you shouldn't be wearing extensions, you don't love yourself. And there's a little bit of resentment, because I found them quite aggressive. So I thought, if I want to wear my weave, I can wear my weave. But now, Sherry, I'm wearing my natural hair and I absolutely love it. And I think, why did I feel the need so many years ago that I had to straighten it? I had so many little journeys and lessons to learn. I wonder if there aren't other women like me.
There are many women like you that are quite... with the word black and proud, but there is something there,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to our hair,
yes.
that we won't, that the fear factor of changing.
Right.
Now, you have to see the fear factor, because all your life you've been told that your hair is sort of, you know, mad and curly, brush your hair.
Exactly.
And it's not just the workplace environment, it's our parents.
Yes,
because
yes.
our parents are conditioned to say, if your hair is not straight, you look untidy. Why you don't go and fix your hair? Why don't go to the hairdresser?
Exactly.
And yes. I use my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I always use my situation to explain
yes.
things. But I remembered when I moved from this coiffured, short Toni Braxton card.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
then I think I put on the weave because I chose, I had the straight one.
Right.
And it started off being you know, to the ear. Yes. And suddenly it would go down to the neck, and then suddenly I found it was on the shoulder.
Okay.
And yes, a lot of people liked it,
right.
Because for whatever reason they liked that look.
Mm-hmm.
But I remembered one day doing an editorial for Bella magazine.
All right.
And I had to get out pictures of my past.
All right.
It was called Naturally Beautiful.
All right.
And the past. And I thought, who am I?
Oh my gosh.
Because I had this beautiful bob, then I had the short cut that
right.
I used to pay £80, £60 or £80
wow.
to straighten your hair and then to cut it all off.
Yes.
And I then made the decision that yeah. I was going to go natural.
Okay.
And then I started off with the obviously cutting off all my hair and then
yes.
become, you know, having a short bald level one.
Right.
And
yes.
I remembered my dad looking at me and, so what, you're going man style now. So I had to do it in his accent.
Yes.
And then so he didn't like that.
All
and
right.
then obviously then I started twisting because I was unsure
right.
about what where I wanted to go. And
sure.
and I started by twisting, and then I remembered Maurice Aberdeen saying, it's locks in now. You have to make a decision.
Gosh.
And that was the time that I took 5 minutes. I said, let me think, because you were just going to have to comb it out.
All right.
And I said, leave it.
Okay.
And I remembered at that point, what was the decision?
Mm-hmm.
The decision had to be one of confidence, because I could have lost my job.
Wow,
I
yes,
could have
yes.
lost, you know, my partner, because
right.
it's not just, you know, you
yes.
have you have people who come along with you, but
that's
they
true.
Only know you a certain way.
Very true.
And I made the decision for me.
Right.
And that's basically what I decided I was going to lock up.
Mm.
And I loved it. I think for the first time
yes.
in my life,
yes.
I made a decision about my hair that it was, I want to do this, and I don't care
yes.
whether Auntie Jane or Uncle
yes.
Harry liked it. I wanted it. My
yes.
dad had a hissy fit. He used to say to my sisters, when's she going to take out them curls out of her hair? Because
oh, no.
he thought they were curls.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Then suddenly the locks was coming, and he was like horrified.
Gosh.
And I remembered having to make a telephone call to
yes.
him
yes.
and telling him off for keep on saying, take, you know, send a message. Tell her to take that thing out of her hair.
Yes.
And then send her to England to do that to herself.
Yes.
And that's, and I had to tell him, this is my choice.
Yes.
I want to do this. And I will take whatever, whether it's accolades that I will get, or I would be battered on the road, or
yes.
I wouldn't get a job, or whatever people's
yes.
thoughts are. I am me, and
right.
I'm making this choice. And I stayed with it,
yes.
and I had it for 10 years.
Gosh.
And then I cut it off last year.
Yes, yes, I noticed.
It was 10 years, and it was on my back. And I was
wow.
I only took it off because it had become so heavy.
Goodness
and it was
me.
Breaking.
Goodness me, amazing. But, you know, I love the fact that you're saying that was the first time I chose a hairstyle that was all me. That was I chose it 100%. And, yeah, there are other people that, you know, feel they have a right to say. My husband always has something to say about my hair. And I always say, this is my hair, you know. And I don't understand why. I mean, hair is such a personal thing. But other people seem to have such strong opinions, particularly black hair.
Yes, and that's because of our past, and people still have these assumptions about people, especially when it is to do with more so natural hair.
Yes,
Weaves is only be getting the ridicules lately because people are becoming a little bit more enlightened about, you know, the products that were being used or
right.
experimenting on our hair, where they affect our estrogen because they're chemicals.
Yes,
And basically, there's a lot of research about whether the chemicals goes into the bloodstream and then therefore damages you,
right.
the woman, internally.
Right.
Because there was this article, whether it's true or not,
yes.
but you have to have a balanced view
sure.
About estrogen.
Okay.
And that's why a lot of us had fibroids.
Mm.
Because what is the one thing that we all had in common?
Right.
And that is a hair product.
So true.
But I was working now in for media, magazine.
All right.
And we have advertisers.
Okay.
And so I couldn't, even as a journalist, right, or even in my editorial,
yes,
speak out about whether I think that it's right to go natural or not, because
gosh,
then I would then affect my job.
Yes.
So what I chose to do is give people choices as an editor,
yes,
in giving them the choices with straight hair, weave,
mm-hmm,
hair,
mm-hmm,
or to go natural. So I balanced it by having natural hair, hairstyles, do's and don'ts about natural,
yes,
and care.
Yes.
And then, of course, then weaves, whether you choose to, because it's
That's
all
right.
about choice.
Of course.
How it should look.
Yes.
And that you should take care of your hair,
mm-hmm,
more than the weave, because the weave is not yours.
Exactly.
And there's hair underneath that.
Yes.
And that's the thing that many black women don't do. They wear the weave or the wig and forget that their own hair is
so
is
true.
Precious.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
So it's
there.
About balance and
balance.
Choice.
Yes, it is. Now, one thing I've noticed about you, which I really, really admire, when you had your 60th birthday fairly recently, you came out and said, you know, you invited everybody and you celebrated it.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, I mean, I got quite apprehensive when I approached my 50s. I thought, oh my God, I can't even be 40 and fabulous anymore. I'm going to be 50. Is this good or bad? I don't know. I know. But it's like, I thought, 60, gosh, it's such a big deal for women as we grow older. I mean, how is it in your sixth decade, Sherry?
It's actually, it's a good question, because I think, again,
mm-hmm,
I've gone through, that's why I've called my company Crossroads.
Yes,
Women,
yes,
on the Crossroads.
Yes.
Because I think you do the same thing when you're moving from your 20s and you're going to become 30.
Okay.
But obviously it's a youthful thought.
Right.
Because you're thinking, I'm really a woman now.
But yeah,
when you're glad to become a teenager.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm a teenager, I can vote.
Exactly.
Or blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Then you get to 21 and you think, oh my God, I'm a big woman now. I can do what I want. I
yes.
don't have to. And then the same thing happens when you're 30.
Right.
And 40.
Mm.
Now, 50, I think, 40 to 50 is really your age where you're making a decision about
mm-hmm.
your life.
Okay.
Whether it's about whether you're going to really buy the house, whether
right.
you're going to stay within the relationship that you're in.
Yes.
Or change careers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're actually, indirectly, in your 40s, you start to have a little midlife crisis.
I think you're right, you know.
Yeah, you do.
You're right.
And so that's when you probably then make decisions. And I find most of the women that I mentor are in their 40s, because they're like, well, you know, I've been a lecturer, or I've been something else, and
right.
I don't want to do that anymore.
Yes.
I want to open my business, and
yeah.
I'm going to do it. If I
right.
don't do it now, I'm going to fail.
Right.
And I say, you know what? That's the right time to make that decision, because
mm.
in your 50s in this country, and
right.
I have to say that
right
it emphasize that
right. uh-huh.
you're made to think that you're old.
I know.
When I lived in the Caribbean,
because mm-hmm.
Remember I went to live in St. Lucia for a little while,
okay,
and then in America,
right.
50 is young.
Gosh.
They there is nothing
mm-hmm.
that they won't try
right.
still at 50. They're
okay.
still getting married, and
right.
they're still doing all those fun things at 50, and they celebrate
right.
Who they are
mm-hmm.
At 50. You
okay.
know, even if they're walking with a hop and a drop,
yes.
it's like a hop and a drop with a stick that looks like, hello, what's me now?
Yes.
And what I decided when I was in my 50s
right.
is that I will not allow myself to apologize
right.
for life.
Mm.
I have had good and bad.
Yes.
Yes. You know, divorce comes in somewhere along the line,
yes,
and,
yes.
and certain things that you didn't plan. These
True
things
enough.
You don't plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to deal with those things. But it's not when you fall or when you go through the obstacles and go on your knees. It's how you get up
okay.
and how you deal with it
yes.
that is important.
Yes,
and
yes.
I decided, I got up many a times, and I have reinvented myself many a time.
Right, yes.
And so therefore, I have a right to celebrate being 60, because I am a survivor.
That. Yeah. Oh,
and
that's
so the reason why I said,
yes.
You know, celebrating 60, I think if you know that you've done your worth, you should celebrate it. You should say, when you get to 60 or 50 or whatever age,
yes,
you can do what I did.
Yes.
I bumped my toe and
right.
fell and I got up.
Sure.
And I made a difference and I changed my life. There's no such thing as can't in my dictionary.
Yes, I've
no
noticed that.
No such thing as can't. Because I'll find a way.
Yeah.
I'll find, if I have to go sideways.
Right.
I became a radio presenter in my 50s.
Oh, right, okay.
I did it before in my 40s.
Right.
And then obviously went off to become an editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I became an editor,
gosh.
Really, at 50.
Gosh.
So I was doing radio and editorial at 50.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things I was particularly trained for.
Okay.
But I refused to not learn. I refused to... there's still aspects of it that I didn't like. When I was doing radio, I hated the control. So I'm not very good at doing two things at once.
I feel that, yes.
I don't like it. And
yeah.
I tell you what I don't like, but anything else I can get. I said to myself, I will interview Pam Grier. And
okay.
she was one of my idols from,
right.
You know, with
yes.
the afro and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
And I put it out there and I got it.
Oh, wow.
I asked a friend
mm-hmm.
if he could hook me up. He
okay.
did. And I did Jasmine Guy, and then I did, I just did people. Maya Angelou, for example.
Oh, yes.
I did in the editorial, Toni Morrison,
gosh.
Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think back at the young, the 20-something-year-old
yes.
in PR,
right.
who was then saying, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to change my career from being a PR person, earning good money, and then go to study beauty so that I can write about it effectively.
Yes.
And then became a famous makeup artist. that has to be belief that I will make a difference.
Wow.
Or I can change
yes.
who I am. So
yes.
being in your 60s, should it stop? No. No, because I became a lecturer. In my late 50s,
yes.
And that's because the government said I couldn't just do motivational speaking.
Right.
I had to be qualified in it.
Mm.
So I took my big old self
yes.
and started to study to become a lecturer.
Oh,
and did that at 57 or
oh,
58.
Gosh. Wow.
And, of course, now at 60 I've changed, totally gone into motivation and public speaking, and I'm proud to say that I've now won... No, I think about 10 awards in the last year.
That's just amazing.
Or two or three or something like
That's
that.
That's just amazing. I really, you know, just as you're listening, I'm thinking there is just so much of your life that is so, so uplifting. Because I remember thinking, it's so crazy when I look back now, like being in my 40s and thinking, I wish I'd done this at university. I wish I had that. And I haven't got this and I haven't got the other. And I'm listening to you and you've done it in your 50s. And
yeah.
I think, why is it we think we have to do everything when we're young? Because, you know, we're not going to do everything by the time we're 22.
And you're not going to understand. That's
yeah.
a really great point. You're not going to understand why you're doing it. Now,
yes,
if you decided you wanted to do... journalism, for example, you can go and do your BA or
yeah.
whatever it is
yes.
in journalism.
Yes.
Even if you have to do it part evening,
mm-hmm.
part you know, or
mm-hmm.
online, or whatever it takes to
right.
do it, because each person is different and their financial situation is different.
Very true.
So, but why not do it? You then afterwards can decide, well, how can I make a difference with this journalism course? Maybe you just do it for the sake of doing it, just because I would like to get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get one when I was sort of younger because
That's true.
I had children first.
Precisely.
But who's to say
yes.
that I shouldn't get a degree or,
right.
or master's or whatever
yeah.
it is
yes.
at 50 or 60, because they don't say you can't do it. They don't tell you you can't do it.
I know.
You're the one that's saying that you can't
yeah.
do it.
Getting in your own way.
Yeah, and you are the one that's putting the obstacles.
Exactly.
I always say you're
yes.
putting the barriers
yes.
and you go in your house and you lock the door
Gosh.
And then you wait for
mm-hmm.
somebody to look through the letterbox and
yes.
go, are you there? Are you there? This is what I've got to offer you. Well, it doesn't work like that. You've got to go out and find it.
Not
and,
at all.
And that's my attitude towards
yeah.
life. And I'm not saying to any human out there, mm-hmm. that there aren't times that we're afraid.
Indeed.
Fear,
yes.
is our biggest obstacle.
Yeah, I tell you what, Sherry, I know I've only got a few more minutes with you, but we've got a tiny break, and then let's just end up talking about dealing with those fears, all right?
Okay.
Thank you.
A child's eyes, and I saw this beautiful things that you never think about, like the ocean, moonlight, stars, and clouds. It's amazing how we don't appreciate our blessings. There's plenty of people who don't like me, but there's 10 times more who love me, and I love myself. Sometimes it gets tough, but I can't give up, just take a deep breath, for my eyes, feel the love, and give a smile.
Somebody else who wants to make a change, wants to make a difference, and she puts on a happy face, Destiny's Child there. Well, of course, I've got my guest, the fabulous, inspirational Sherry-Ann Dixon is my guest. And I hope you're feeling as inspired as I am now. Before we went to the break, Sherry just touched on the fact that nobody can stop you, but sometimes fear gets in the way. Sherry-Ann, how can we deal with these fears?
I feel the fear and do it anyway.
yes.
But easier said than done, but
right.
at least you could try. This is how I speak to my mentees.
Yes.
If you put one foot in front of the other,
mm-hmm.
that one foot could be just pick up the phone.
Yes.
And go to the to find out
mm-hmm.
about the price of the course.
Yes.
let's say if it's a course that you want to do, find
yes.
out about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Go online and research it. And say, well, okay, because that's one step.
Mm-hmm.
That's one step into the fair.
Definitely.
And when you find out, you can then go to an open day, or you could ask somebody to be your mentor.
Very true.
So that you get a chance to see, like Patricia, you could quite easily be a mentor. Do you see where I'm going?
Yes,
about
I
that?
Do. yes.
There might be a young girl that wants to get into radio,
yes.
and she might shadow you for an hour.
Yes.
And that's how you find out. Do you remember I said in the beginning
yes.
about when I worked in PR,
yes,
shadowing
yes.
some of
that.
The PA?
Good point.
And then ended up being not only a PA, but I ended up being the executive
Amazing.
Assistant
Gosh.
to chairman of partners.
Good grief.
Now that, and I'm not saying these things on air to show off.
Right.
I'm saying it to
yeah.
empower
mm.
somebody to say, you can't get anything in life without putting that one foot forward.
Right.
And that one foot forward is either choose a mentor
mm-hmm.
or go and sit in a conference.
Yes.
We don't do enough of that, to go to conferences or these events where
yes.
people are speaking about themselves, because these people are motivators,
mm-hmm.
they're inspirers,
mm-hmm.
they share their journey.
Yes.
Okay, they don't always say, well, hold on, some days I might only have £5 in my purse.
Right, right.
They might be, because the journey could bring sometimes, you know, you're not earning the money you used to earn. I remembered when I moved from PR into beauty,
right.
I was on some serious money in PR,
right.
and I think my husband at the time thought that I was having a menopausal moment to want to go and give away £2,000 and work for one
oh,
thousand.
Gosh, yes, yes.
But I had to do it because my thirst was for beauty and, right. And to share. Mm-hmm. It's in your nature. If it's in your nature to share,
right.
whatever you learn, you will give back. So mm-hmm. giving back was to teach beauty, teach others how they could do well. The same came when I became a magazine. I went into editorial.
Okay.
I always gave back to the young interns, mm. or I had them shadowing me. And I sometimes forget until I get a message on Facebook that says, "Remember when you did this? Remember when you allowed me to do this?" Giving back is so important.
Yes. Yes.
And so fair comes from asking. The biggest thing mm. is ask somebody,
yes.
would you mind if I came and observed you?
Yes.
Would you mind just giving me a moment of your time?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if I just sat in the background and looked at you when you're speaking? Or if there's a chef, could mm-hmm. I just spend some time, 10 minutes with you?
Okay.
Whatever.
Yes.
If you don't ask, you don't get. Because
yeah.
people don't know that you need. They assume that you're okay.
That's so true.
And so ask.
Mm.
Even if you say, like if somebody sends me, I get loads of messages at the back end of Facebook. Sometimes I think, oh, I can't cope with another one.
Okay.
But yes. when I find time, I would always respond and say, mm-hmm. I can't mm-hmm. answer right now because I'm in a hurry and I
okay.
don't want to
yes.
answer you. But this is what I could do for you.
Right.
And so I do answer it and I do give back as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and the rest of it, God looks out for me. God gives back to
yes.
me because sometimes I don't know where the next penny's coming from.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm being
mm-hmm.
real here. I don't
understand.
Know.
Yes.
You can have the best marketing plan
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Yes.
But it still takes a human being to pick up that phone and book you.
Of course.
Or to come to your event.
Of course.
And so I put it out there and I say, I'm doing the best that I can.
Right.
And God will take care of the rest. God will walk beside me. He will show me the path.
Yes.
Or he's already mapped it out for me. I just need to put it in his hands.
Yes.
And that has been my attitude
yes.
in the last, I think, instead of me trying to control God,
right.
I've left it to God to control me.
I love that. Yes, indeed.
And that's how it's working for me. But can I tell you before I go?
Yes, please.
That I'm starting a mentoring I'm doing in March
right.
a big, this is not marketing or advertising. I know your bosses are probably dying now. but basically what I'm doing is a big dinner, which you'll know
okay.
about.
Okay.
And the dinner is to launch a mentoring scheme because every single person that comes to that dinner,
yes.
I will ask them to pledge to either be a mentor or a mentee.
Gosh.
And
yes.
basically then we'll put it all together and then start this mentoring program because I think everybody thinks they're doing it but they make it too highfalutin in my idea.
All right.
It's about whether if somebody's a chef and say I'm willing to give an hour a month.
Okay. Yes.
To somebody who wants to ask and how many people can they do? You know, put it down. What can you do? What
yes.
can you do to give back?
Yes.
And then the mentee will say, you know, what she needs and then try to merge people together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this dinner that I'll be doing is going to be called I Can.
Oh,
that's
wow.
the hashtag I Can.
Yes.
Because I can give to
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
and the mentee will say I can ask, I can change, I can do anything with the help of another person.
Yes, indeed. I love that so much, Sherri-Anne. Thank you. I was just going to go ask you before you went. Actually, who do you look up to? Because you obviously inspire us all. Who do you look up to?
I have so many people at the moment. But let me think about, say, it from the base roots of
right.
of community rather
yeah.
than...
Because yeah.
you know you've been playing Destiny's Child
yes.
and all that. You know I've met them all and
I know.
I've interviewed them all.
Yes.
And I've interviewed a lot of top celebrities.
Mm.
But the person that interviews me could be somebody like you.
Oh.
There's a friend I have in America called Chantelle Sherman,
okay.
Who's a journalist and she's a White House journalist. Robin Caldwell. There are women out there who are speaking their mind.
Right.
And
right.
they are empowering people by by showing that I can. Tina Turner, people like that, if I go into the celebrity world, because they live a different life to us. It's easy to say they motivate you.
Yes.
She motivates me by how she looks, that she never lets anything stop her. Obviously, Maya Angelou was always part of that journey.
Always,
and
yes.
I said that I was going to interview her, and I got it.
Uh-huh.
And the last person that is on... There's two people left on my tick box, to be quite honest.
Okay.
And that is the Queen of England.
Okay.
And an Oprah.
Oh,
the Queen of chat show hosts.
Of course.
And I will meet them.
Yes, you will. We've done it. You've done everybody else you had on your list. You've met them.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why these two, you won't meet these two either.
Because they're ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Ah, you've done that so well. And you're obviously an ordinary person doing extraordinary things there, Sherry. I want to thank you so much for talking to me. Before you go, please let us have your website for those who want to keep in touch with you.
Well, I have two. The one that I want people to really be aware of is Women on the Crossroads. It's all the W's, www.womenonthecrossroads.com.
Right.
And my personal website is all the W's, sherrydixon.net. That one is just a little bit about me, but Women on the Crossroads has a lot of motivational stuff in there.
Yes.
It's a community of women. We're on Facebook as well,
yes.
Women on the Crossroads.
Yes.
It's a community of women
right.
sharing, caring, and empowering each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that there's anything wrong with men. Please, I don't want to get any emails saying, what about men?
Yeah.
But because I'm a woman, I am trying to empower
yes.
other women to be the best that they can be.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, I'm inspired to be the best that I can be. And I know that being in my 50s is a good thing, and I shouldn't feel any way. It's
celebrate,
a great...
darling. Celebrate.
I'm going to celebrate.
There's somebody that wish that they could have woken up in their 50s.
You're so
right. And you've woken up in your 50s.
Yes.
And you're doing a darn good job. And I'm so happy that you're on radio.
Thank you. Oh, I love you so much. Thank you, Sherry, just for being who you are. You're a star.
Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Well, that was a lovely, amazing...
Hey, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine best-selling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia
you
Show.
You certainly are, and you've been listening to myself speaking to the fantastic Sherry Ann Dixon. I just feel as though I had so much more to ask. Sherry, goodness me, she's just amazing. I love speaking to her, and I know you will love this interview. And go check her out on Women on the Crossroads and sherrydixon.net. So much inspiration for you. Well, anyway, I've been your host. It's been the Ask Patricia Show, and I'm here next time for more. I will see you then. Good night.